My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy.
What's up? What are you doing? Sports!
I know.
I'm a sports guy.
It's tough.
We were just here, and now I've got sports again.
Come on, you've been doing sports for
20 years. Let's go.
All right. Hot Dotson talk. Go!
Who?
Jahan Dotson.
Who's that?
Try to follow along, please.
He's now the Eagles' number three receiver. I need hot.
I don't care.
Third receiver takes out of you. We're not going to talk about Luke McCaffrey.
Yeah. Hello? What'd he do?
Well, he's the one that's going to replace him. He's the reason why they dealt him. Because he's looking good in Commander's camp.
Is that any relation to Ed?
Yes. That is of the...
I'm a sports guy.
Wouldn't that be something that there was just a bunch of random white McCaffreys, but no relation? Like, no. That's the Southern McCaffreys.
How many McCaffreys are there? That's the question.
There's a lot. There's a lot of McCaffreys.
Well, how many? Shouldn't you know that?
I want to say there's three boys, and I think there's a girl that's really good at sports, too.
Is she a running back?
I don't think so. I think she's like a volleyball player. But like the McCaffreys, so Ed, who I played with in Denver.
She hot?
You know what? I can't comment on that.
I bet she is.
I would assume so.
That whole family's hot.
Yeah, because I played with Ed in Denver. Or should I say I sat by Ed for a brief period of time, and then I think he married like an All-American something from Stanford, and then I think all their kids are beautiful and talented and smart and basically just better at life than we are.
They joked that they were going to get together and make really fast white kids,
and it worked. Yeah, I mean, go figure.
Yeah, Lisa is. Let's see. Oh, my God. There are a million of them.
Oh, there's more than four?
Yeah.
How many McCaffreys are there? I thought there were three McCaffrey brothers.
Let's take a look. Let's learn together.
Let's learn. Let's grow. We're ready. Yeah, there's Luke, Ed, Max, Dylan, Lisa.
Well, but wait. Ed and Lisa. I think Lisa is Ed's wife.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the wife.
There's Christian, Luke, and then the girl.
And I think there's a younger brother, too.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I think Max.
Is it Max?
I think Max.
Maximilian?
Yes.
Is he like the...
Actually, it says here that he's the oldest of the McCaffrey siblings.
He's Cooper Manning.
He's probably a big, fat loser. Oh, he was a practice squad member for the Packers and the Saints. He was me, loser.
There's no girl. It says he has four sons.
I thought he had a daughter.
Maybe she had a sex change.
I could be wrong. Yeah. So Max was a practice squad player, and then they had Dylan, who played quarterback at Michigan and then transferred to Northern Colorado. Didn't do much. And then
I remember him.
And then you got Luke.
Who's now an NFL
who's
superstar.
Who's now an NFL player. And then you got that other kid.
Christian.
Who turned out to be pretty, pretty good.
Is he?
Yeah. Yeah, he's all right. Until he gets hurt again.
Still play for the Panthers?
Now he's on the Madden cover. Yes, I think as a Carolina Panther, he'll be blowing something out. So I lied. I thought there was a McCaffrey daughter.
You don't belong on the sports radio.
Apparently not. I remember seeing a thing like on 60 Minutes, and I could have sworn that there was a McCaffrey daughter. But nigh.
Four boys.
There is not.
Okay. Well, now that we settled that.
Now that we got it. Well, you wanted sports. I gave you sports, and you didn't know what the hell was going on.
It wasn't. Wait. How are you spinning this on me? You didn't even know what this was about an hour.
Huh? Listen here, Window Daddy. I need more out of you. If we're going to sports.
I need correct facts out of you. Hey, if I'm going to get daddy, if I'm going to get sports from you, it better be right. Not this bullshit.
Well, it feels weird because we were here yesterday doing 4 hours of club, and
now we're
back, and now we're sportsy.
What is this place?
It's Barrel something or other.
Ten Barrel Brewing, guys.
Not Nine Barrel. That's right out.
We are back.
Yeah, don't get confused.
Ten Barrel Brewing, and they're moving tables, which means somebody important just showed up.
Yes. I think our boss just showed up.
Well, he's not that important, though.
No.
I think it's these people with backpacks.
Oh, yeah. Well, oh, yeah.
These are the Grand Prix people.
Ah, yeah. We got the Vroom Vroom people, and they get tables moved.
Yeah, today.
And I believe one of them is from Canada, because I see the maple leaf there.
Today, we are celebrating the BitNile.com Portland Grand Prix.
Yes.
Which is Friday through Sunday at PIR.
I'm ready to go. Normally, with this like the third or fourth year in a row, we've done a kickoff. Different location this year. The last couple years, we've been down, in the Kensington neighborhood, but now we've taken it up here to Ten Barrel.
Yeah, that's above our pay grade.
Yeah,
I don't know why we're here.
We just get told to show up and dance monkey dance,
that's right.
What we're here to do.
So
but
we're at
in a very sportsing way today. No more nonsense. It's out of our systems.
So we're at Ten Barrel Brewing here. There are 10 races, 5 different open wheel series, 1 weekend.
That's okay. You did like a whole ad there. Is that like a tagline? You forgot. You'll pay for the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge.
And then the headliner is the big IndyCar race.
Yes.
It's a big race.
Yes.
And Alex Palou, I'm told. Now, see, I'm bringing hot facts. Okay.
Oh, I can't
and
wait.
These are right.
Correct facts?
Yes.
Well, you are the Window Daddy.
It's not fake news.
I would expect you to bring real hardcore facts.
Hey, it's Alex, your Window Daddy.
Yeah.
Alex Palou can become the third driver to win 3 times in Portland.
Ooh.
The other two? Al Unser Jr.
No, he, from what I remember, he very good at racing cars because, well, I've heard of him.
And Michael Andretti.
Yeah, I would say those are pretty big big names.
How about that?
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Well, I'm looking up Alex right here. He's a handsome devil.
Alex Palou.
Yeah.
So if you want to go to the race, tickets at raceportland.com. Kids 12 and under are free. That's what we're doing today, although it is Portland Hip Hop Week. I'm not sure why we're not out there.
It's Portland Hip Hop Week?
Yeah, did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this, but I am not ingrained in Portland's hip and or hop community.
Hey, I was going to ask, are you getting a big award? Award for the January 6th insurrection awards that Trump's giving out?
Oh, he's giving out awards?
Yeah, are you on the list?
I would certainly hope so. I didn't get my invite. What the hell, man?
Well, maybe you didn't insurrect hard enough.
That's disappointing. Well, I'll tell you what. Just wait till this year. You thought I insurrected hard last time. Well, I think I need horns. I need some sort of animal, you know, like head. Although the buffalo thing's been done, I was thinking about going with moose. You know, because I like, if we're talking horns, isn't the moose the most impressive of the horns? I mean, those things are massive. I guess I could do ram horns. Those are kind of cool. Because the buffalo thing's been done now. So I got to take it up a notch. If I'm going to win the January 6th awards, I need to one-up the buffalo guy. And so that's what I'm thinking. Moose or ram.
I like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, tonight's the 4th annual hip-hop wine and chill.
Really? Is hip-hop a wine thing?
Well, I don't know. It is for this.
I just don't associate wine with hip-hop, but maybe I'm wrong, so I don't know.
And then Alberta Street Pub has the Take It to the Bridge Party Hip-Hop Edition tomorrow and Saturday.
Well, maybe.
And then
I'll...
Saturday night is the Get in the Game DJ Showcase Day Party.
Well, that's right up my
alley.
There's
a lot going on
there
in Portland.
There is a lot going on.
We got the race. We've got Hood to Coast. We got Portland Hip-Hop Week. We got you and I at Ten Barrel.
Is it supposed to rain this weekend?
I do think it's supposed to rain tomorrow. I think just tomorrow, though. Yeah. I'm not sure.
I heard Sprague talking about Hood to Coast. And
is he out there?
Yeah, he's running it.
Aren't they doing it right now? Or is it tomorrow?
Well, he was on this morning, so I don't know when they start, but I'm assuming tomorrow.
Well, let's take a look.
But, because they finish up on Saturday, I think. But, yeah, they were talking about it today. And, again, I was going to race this year, but then, you know.
Uh-huh.
Just.
What happened?
Well, I had a lot to do. You know, I had laundry and then Weebelows and, you know, the bum knee. And, yeah, there was just a lot going on there, and it didn't happen this year. But next year. Next year it's going to happen. Much like the Shamrock Run, I'm sure next year is going to be my year.
Your forecast for the weekend, fellas, today and tomorrow rainy, Saturday cloudy but no rain, Sunday back to sunny again.
Okay. See, and that's the thing. I can't run in the clouds. In order for me to run, I need it to be warm. You know, it's like I'm kind of fueled by the sun. And, you know, Sprague was asking me, hey, you want to be the anchor leg? And I thought about it, and I was going to help him out. And I was like, ah, man, cloudy. I don't like the looks of that. I don't like running in clouds. So, no, I'm out. Not going
to
do it.
Well, I got to tell you, I am on the Hood to Coast website.
Mm-hmm.
And not to be disparaging, but it is actually hard to find the dates.
Oh. Well, it's this weekend.
Oh, there it is. Okay, wait.
So. You know.
What is today? 22nd?
Yeah, today's
the
22nd.
So I think they take off tomorrow,
all right,
and then they finish Saturday.
Well,
I'll tell you what.
Maybe next year I'll put it on my calendar. That way I have a little more time to get ready for it so I can, you know, build up to it.
That'd be smart.
What would you do if you just got thrown into the Hood to Coast? No prep whatsoever. Just tomorrow. They're like, Rop, you're in.
Which leg am I running?
Oh, I think Sprague said he's running 17 miles. It's like 17
what?
Something.
Well, I mean, not at once.
Not at once.
Don't you run like 3 or 4 at a time?
I don't know, man. Who are you?
3 or 4 feet?
In case you didn't know, I'm not exactly an experienced Hood to Coaster. I mean, again, I'm a busy man. I can't be wasting my time just on every little event that pops up.
I'll come out.
But I think he said he was running this one. I think he said it was like 17 point something.
I'll come out. And I'll run 3 to 4 feet, and I'll pass the baton.
Is there a baton?
And I'll grab a beer.
I don't think there's a baton.
There isn't?
No.
There should be.
I don't think there's a baton. I'm thinking of sprints.
Look at me marketing for Hood to Coast. Up your game.
Yeah.
Add batons.
Yeah. Can I just cheat? I mean, how official is this? Can't I just pull like a marathon thing and get in a car or like get on a little Razor scooter and claim that I ran? I mean, is anyone out there really keeping track? And it's like, here's another, I'm dead serious question. Is there a winner? Can I win Hood to Coast? Or am I just out there, you know, for S's and giggles? I don't know. Because if there's not a chance to win, why would I even do it? You know, I'm not doing it for fun. I'm doing it for fame and fortune.
It does look like there are winners. There are course records.
Oh. All right, well, then maybe next year I consider lending my extreme running skills to the Sprague Hood to Coast team. I think he's running with, like, Dave Kinsella. I think we have an Odyssey team that does it.
We have for years.
Yeah, yeah. Someone saying Vancouver Ford text line, each leg is like 4 to 6 miles, all vary, and you run between 16 and 18 miles on average, and you run 3 stints. There you go.
I don't like that.
I know. It seems
it's too much.
Yeah, I don't like the breaks.
The Elite Bowerman Track Club won last year's race.
Well, of course, it's Elite.
Yeah.
Why not?
Followed by Mooka Mad Boys. Mm.
So that's like a big deal, like all the running bros all get together and it's like a source of pride or whatever. Oh. More power to you.
What's our team name?
Don't know. I don't know what our team name is. I don't even know who's on it. I just know Kinsella does it, and I know Sprague does it. And I don't even know if they're on the same team. Basically,
damn,
all I know about Hood to Coast is every now and then Sprague talks about it.
Guess how many teams were in that last year?
I don't know. Let's go like 300.
1,166.
Good Lord.
Yes.
There's a lot of teams.
And the
I was a bit off with my 300 teams.
The last place team from the corporate mixed open division, the Flying Sparks, with a time of 77 days.
Run that by me again?
Just kidding. 39, I'm imagining 39 hours, 53 minutes, 21 seconds?
Yeah, I would
Does
assume.
Does that sound right?
Yeah. I doubt it's 39 minutes. So, yeah, 39 hours?
That'd be cool.
That would make sense. Someone also saying, we're getting all the info on the Vancouver
Great.
Text line. Wristbands. They
Tell
hand off wristbands.
More. Why?
That's the baton.
Oh.
His hand off the, you know, it's a wristband.
Okay.
Remember like when you were a kid, they had those snap bracelets?
Like Taylor Swift?
Yeah, like a Swifty sort of thing. You hand off like a BFFF forever thing, and then you go off and run. I don't understand what's fun about that. Couldn't tell you, but the people love it. It makes no sense to me, but, you know, to each their own, man. Whatever blows your hair back.
I think the cool part would be the beer at the end. Or on the beach.
Well, yeah, but I just would say, right? Can we just skip all that and just go have beers on the beach?
God dang. The winning team.
Yeah.
Do you want to know their mile pace?
I don't know.
So how many miles you said that thing is?
Couldn't tell you. I said, they said each runner runs between 16 and 18 miles.
Okay.
I'm saying for the elite teams.
Yeah, this is the
like,
winning.
I know like the elite runners run 4 and some change, but that's like the professional runners. So I say like, I don't know, like mid fives? Like 6 minutes?
5 minutes, 21 second miles.
Yeah.
From the Bowerman Track Club Elite.
I just find that, ridiculous. That's
crazy.
I couldn't run a mile in that. If you told me right now, like gun to my head, what did you say,
521.
I have to run a 521 mile or you shoot me, I wouldn't even run. I would just say put it in
you
my head.
You
wouldn't try? No. Why? That just means I'm going to die tired and pissed off. Dude, I would just go deer hunter and just laugh at you. I'm like, give me the gun. I'll pull the trigger myself.
Your life depends on it. You won't even try?
Are you going to try?
Hell yeah.
521.
If you're going to kill me? I mean, I probably won't make it, but you're going to kill me?
There's not a problem. Again, all I'm doing is giving you the pleasure of seeing me grovel and die on my knees wheezing as I cross the line in like 9 minutes.
My new
favorite.
So
no, I'm giving you the finger and making you shoot me in the face right then while I laugh and spit at you.
My new favorite team is Team Sexy One.
Oh, there you go. All right.
They finished 223rd last year. Is this fun, listening to us go through the Hood to Coast results, guys?
Someone saying Kevin Hart ran it last year?
What?
Ooh. All I'm telling you is what people are texting in. Apparently,
the YouTube chat is telling us one person, Steve, says, I quit my job at Hertz Rental Company after having to clean the leftovers out of all those Hood to Coast vans.
Oh, I bet.
Screw this.
God.
Yeah, well.
How about Sexy Pancakes?
Oh, all right.
Men's Submaster Division.
I didn't know. I bet it is a Submaster. Let's go, Sexy Pancakes. You need a power bottom?
They were top 325.
All right. Well, I don't know if that's
good. I'm looking for Odyssey.
Yeah, I don't think we're finishing in the money, buddy. Well, scroll all the way down.
I'm about halfway home.
Yeah, again, keep scrolling.
Why are you assuming they're so bad? Well, Dave Kinsella is a runner.
Look, I love me
Odyssey as athletes.
I love me some Dave Kinsella, but Dave doesn't exactly look like he's burning up the track.
We're a sports station.
Yeah,
we should win.
Sure, we are. No,
whoa, some of these names.
Yeah, 1 year that Sprague and Crawford were doing it, the name of their team was the Asses of HTC, of Hood to Coast, because when you're in the van and running, all you see is everybody's asses the whole time. That was it. Okay. That was their name.
All right.
Well. Yeah, I don't know. I just...
Oh, dear.
If you had some sort of other group activity, maybe I would be in, but
now, can I say this
happening.
One? I'm going to try it.
Oh, boy.
The boss isn't listening, is he?
I don't know. He's over there.
11 chicks.
Oh, don't do it.
And
don't do it. Don't. And a Richard.
And a Richard. But it's not Richard. It's...
Yeah, I know.
His name is Dick.
Hey, good for him.
Can I say that team name?
I don't think you can.
His name's Dick.
I don't know. Look, I'm not saying it. That's Window Daddy.
That's
a great
name.
I bet you that guy had a great time in that van.
It's your Window Daddy. From Ski to Shining Sea. Aw,
right.
That's cute.
All right. Is anyone else over Hood to Coast now? Because I am.
Big Gulps, huh? Well, see you later.
Exactly.
No, that's a team name. They finished 740.
Those guys.
I'm not done.
Those guys suck. Can we be done? I'm sorry I brought up Hood to Coast.
Someone got run over last year? That's what the text line's telling us.
Oh, no.
Oh,
yeah, there is a team called Road Killed.
Well, whoops.
I hope it was one of those guys.
Yeah, that would be a bit awkward if your team Road Killed and one of your guys gets clipped. Ew.
Well, we're not running Hood to Coast.
No, I'm not.
Well, I'm not either.
No, none of us are, except for Sprague.
We're not racing in the Grand Prix.
Yeah.
And we have nothing to do with Portland Hip Hop Week.
No.
So what is it we're going to do? We're going to talk sports.
talk about Commanders wide receiver rooms and the Eagles.
Well,
might be the best wide receiver room in football right now.
There is some big local sports news that we have to get to.
Yeah.
And we will do that when we return after our poll question, which is next on The Fan. Yeah, it's a little bit of the sort of the calm before the storm of the kickoff party. We've been to a few of these, as you mentioned.
Oh, and, yeah, they get good.
Yeah, it gets wild in here because the drivers come in here.
Yeah, and usually they bring out a car, you know, and kind of park it out, and it's a whole thing.
Yeah, they're usually hot young guys, and that brings in the hot young girls.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, we never noticed that.
And the hot young boys. Don't forget about that.
And then all the olds. That, you know, it's just a, you know.
Yeah, it's a good time.
It's a fun lot, the Grand Prix fans. And they will be down here tonight celebrating the Portland Grand Prix, which is Friday through Sunday out at PIR. 10 Barrel Brewing is where we have set up shop. 10 Barrel Brewing. And believe it or not, guys, if you were listening to yesterday's show, that's where we were yesterday.
Yeah, but yesterday we were celebrating pub beer and their sponsorship of the club.
Yeah.
Pub at the club. Now, this is about the Vroom Vrooms.
But you can still have a pub beer.
Oh, yeah. Or like six. It happens.
All right. The 1080 The Fan daily poll question can be found on X at 1080 The Fan. Yesterday we asked you, what's your view on reclining your seat on an airplane? How do you feel this went? What do you think?
I would hope.
The three choices were just rude, only if no one's behind me, or my seat, my prerogative.
I'm hoping that the only if no one's behind me, I'm hoping that wins. I want decency to win out in this world.
That did win.
Good.
58%.
Yeah. Like, at our core, I think the majority of us are decent human beings. Like you said, it's just that there's about 25% of us that are terrible.
Yeah, I'm going to go 30.
30, okay.
In between 25, 30%.
Somewhere in that range.
My seat, my prerogative, 31%.
Oh, gosh. You people are the worst.
And just rude, 11%.
See, it's not rude, though, if there's, you know, if it doesn't affect the person behind you.
Yeah.
So there's context to everything.
Mm. Context, what?
Yeah, context.
Today's question, it is up there for you. Vote and vote hard. Would you be willing to donate money to your school's NIL fund?
No.
Three options. Of course, open to it or no chance.
Yeah, no chance.
Why?
And I mean zero.
Really? Just because they're a rich school?
You could.
BYU has a lot of money.
Dude, the church is worth several $100 billion.
And yet they won't give a dime to NIL, will they?
No, the church won't. So I just, there is, and but honestly, this isn't even a BYU thing, although, you know, that's where I went, and I want BYU to do well, and I like Kalani Sitake, he's a former teammate of mine, he's their head coach. I think it'd be great if BYU became, you know, a powerhouse in football. But this goes, like, if I played at Oregon, or if my kid went and played it at Washington or Washington State, wherever, they would never get a dime out of me. I find it fascinating in this world where, dude, they just piss money. And they just, for the dumbest things in the world. Like, the idea that, and I guess there's varying, again, there's context to everything. I will say there's a difference probably between Oregon State and Oregon. But if you go to Oregon, the chairs in that Hatfield-Dowling complex, they're made by Ferrari. They went and got Ferrari chairs. And you're asking me, you know, let's say even I make, you know, $300,000, which I don't. But let's say I do well, but I'm not rich. And you're asking me to donate money? Dude, kiss my ass. Clemson put in a slide. There's a slide at their facility that where if you want to go from the top floor down to the bottom floor, instead of taking the elevator or the stairs or the escalator, you could take a slide.
It's a dadgum mistake.
So you have the nerve to waste money with a slide, but then be like, we need money. I mean, to get out of here. How Mike Gundy makes how much money? And yet now we've got QR codes on the back of helmets, and we're asking Ma and Pa to chip in a few bucks here and there. Zero chance.
Mike Gundy makes $7.5 million per year.
It ain't happening. You know, this is the same thing whenever an NFL team or someone builds a stadium, and then they ask the public, well, you know, times are tough, and you know, we need to come together on this, and you know, it's a joint effort, and by joint effort, we're asking you to give me all the money, and then we build a building just for me, and no, I don't let anyone else use it, and yes, I'm worth $4 billion, but I'm going to collect all the money from it. Meanwhile, you, the taxpayers, continue to pay for it on bonds, so it ends up being three times more expensive. And if you don't, screw you, I'm going to leave. This idea of regular people paying for programs, whether it's at the professional level or collegiate level, and I get, man, if you've got a bunch of money to spare and that's what makes you happy, by all means, knock yourself out. But if you're coming to me to fund a billion-dollar organization? Dude, no. No, no, no. I just can't think of a single sports entity that would ever, ever get a dime out of me. None.
What if the little Mormon boys in their shirts and their little bike helmets that knock on your door were now asking for NIL money?
Well, that's you're going to go down a bad road for me here because, again, the church is worth $100 billion. You know who pays for missions when a young man goes
probably
on a mission?
Probably the kids.
Probably the kids.
The parents.
The parents. And I...
No way.
Yeah, that's it's a source of great...
It's almost as if the whole thing's a racket.
I just can't.
So 74% of our listeners so far agree with you.
Yeah.
They're with you. They say no chance.
Now I will say that if it was back in the olden days, and we went back into the 50s or 60s or 70s, and you had coaches that were making, you know, $65,000 a year, and it was a blue-collar sort of situation, and, you know, you didn't have these giant, cathedrals that you played in and all the facilities. Yeah, at that point, if you're like, hey, would you like to contribute a little bit to keep this program going? Because I like going to college football games. I like seeing my team do well. That makes sense to me. But we have crossed that barrier decades ago. That thing is so far in the rearview mirror. So just the idea of asking Johnny Sixpack to pony up that money, man. And at that point, too, it's just a drop in the bucket. Like, if you think that you and your normal fans are going to pool money and it's really going to make a difference to Oklahoma State or BYU or Kansas or whatever, you're fooling yourself because the giant programs with giant boosters are coming in and they outspend you 6-1.
Yeah, I think that's the problem for me is, oh, thank you. Another pitcher of water.
You animal. You absolute animal.
And yes, I do have to pee.
Yeah. By the way, the over-under is 5.5.
On what?
On your peas.
Oh, it'll be more than that. Especially if I keep down in water.
Well, someone on the text line set the over-under 5.5.
I'll count. All okay, right. You count. Yeah, I haven't peed yet. I am going to go this next break.
There's one.
So there's one. We'll keep a close eye on this.
Yeah.
For me, the problem is if I donate my little measly pennies.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to see some return, right?
Exactly.
Like there's no way to know. It's like when charities, a good thing that charities will do sometimes is they will say, here's what your money does.
Yes.
Okay, if you give us $150, it's going to save this puppy's life or whatever. You know.
Yes.
This, there's no, like, what does it go?
Yeah.
It just goes into a big pool that's probably misspent.
Yep.
And I don't know, there's just really no, there's no payoff for the giver.
No. None.
You know, they're just relying on.
Just goes into a hole.
You're just a Kansas fan, and you went there, so you should you should donate to help us out. Well, what do I get out of it?
You get nothing.
You know.
I mean, I guess a sense of.
Is it a write off? Are NIL donations a write off?
I don't think so, because that's not a charity. It's not a 501c.
Yeah.
So I think that's just money in the you know, it's just a drop in the bucket.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going to vote no chance.
And it's just a.
And I'm going to vote hard.
Yes, dude. Of all the great Window Daddy poll questions that you have put up, and you always ask us to vote and vote hard.
I do want you to vote hard.
In all the years we've been doing this, I don't know if I would have voted harder for a poll than this. I would be bludgeoning this. It's not even like, can I punch a button? Because if so, that's an uppercut of a button. And every time I get that thing in the mail from BYU, I just laugh. I want to email someone over there and be like, the unmitigated gall to ask me for money when you are literally sitting on several hundreds of billions of dollars as an organization. And I know it's not all the same thing, but it's like endowments. And I get endowments are different and all that. But, dude, some of these schools have so much money.
Yeah.
And yet they want you to donate, you know, $1,000?
We need you or we won't survive.
Oh, and by the way, if you don't continue to up those donations, then you don't get season tickets, you don't get the cool parking places and all that. And, yeah, that's not really built into the cost. We just need you to, quote, donate so then you can have the right to then go buy seats. That's like the personal seat license. Hey, we just built a publicly funded $4 billion stadium for a private billionaire. And guess what we're going to do for the fans? You now get to write us a check for $30,000. Oh, cool. Is that for my season tickets? No. That's for the right to buy the season tickets.
And could you make it out to the billionaire, please?
Yes. Because he's really hurting. I mean, it's just...
All right. That's the poll question. It is at X... On X, at 1080 The Fan. Coming up next, the Mariners have made a move.
The final piece has happened.
Rest in peace, yeah. Scott Servais.
Are you out of your mind?
Here's Buck.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Indeed it is. Tim Barrel Brewing again today. What's going on? Coming up, you're going to hear a little bit of Kirk Cousins' birthday practice playlist.
Oh, yeah. I guess when it's your birthday, you get to control the practice music?
Yep.
I didn't get that. No one ever let me control the music.
So Cousins did, and boy, it's something.
Well, it's very Kirk Cousins-y. How about that?
It is so on brand, it's not even funny.
At least it's not like Christian rock. I'd be afraid it'd be that.
I mean, he's not going to do that at practice, is he?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's his day. You know, you could get a lot of Christian rock or like some Creed or something. I mean, look, this could have been worse.
Whoa, I'm saying.
What?
Creed is on the list.
I understand, but a Creed, not like just an entire. Yeah, imagine if someone just was like, "Hey, for the birthday, we're just going through Nickelback's greatest hits." Like, that's, you know, at least he's mixing it up a little bit.
Not really. Nah. You'll find out why I say that. By the way, one P down.
Oh, yeah, the over-under, 5.5.
And I got to tell you, the flow is great.
Oh, boy.
Was it
championship level?
I think so.
All right.
It's nice and clear.
Well, that's championship.
Well hydrated.
That's championship level.
Well, we've got big news, guys. If you're just tuning in, we're back to sports, and the Mariners have fired Scott Servais.
Yes. Turns out 9 years and one playoff appearance, and then a 15-game swing over the span of like 2.5 months. Yeah, that gets you canned. Although this isn't really Scott Servais' fault.
Well,
this is more of a GM, but the GM isn't going to fire himself. Has that ever happened in the middle of the season? The GM's like, well, I did a piss poor job putting this together.
I mean,
so
the owner could fire the GM. But
I suppose, but the owner doesn't care.
Yeah, the managers are just kind of, you know, they're just looking for a spark. They're trying to salvage something.
This thing's a sinking ship. What, they're 5 back in the division, 6.5 back. They just came off a 1-8 trip, swept by the Dodgers. I mean, I suppose, what do you got to lose? I mean, your playoff chances, I think ESPN has them sitting at like 20-something percent. Like, this isn't happening. The team isn't getting better. They can't figure out how to hit, so... You know, whether it happens now or at the end of the season, like you said, you do it now and maybe you get someone to light a spark. But, you know, you fired your hitting coach. You know, you made deals at the deadline. You brought back, you got some guys healthy. Nothing has helped. Dan Wilson isn't magically going to make the rest of these guys start hitting.
Yeah, Dan Wilson is taking over, and he has issued a statement. And it reads, I appreciate the faith that Jerry, Justin, and the Mariners organization have placed in me, and I'm eager to get to work. I believe this team is capable of playing great baseball this season and look forward to the opportunity to work with this group of players and coaches. Blah.
I just don't understand, like, what is Dan Wilson going to say on a day-to-day basis? Hey, you, Cal Raleigh, hit a home run. The rest of you, hit something, anything, for the love of God, stop striking out.
Yeah, like, the hitting coach was Jarrett DeHart,
and
he got turfed.
Yeah, and they canned him.
So the Mariners, they're hitting .216, which is last in Major League Baseball. That's unbelievable.
Yes.
And then they have averaged just 3.9 runs, which is fourth fewest in Major League Baseball.
Yeah. So, well, and I mean, their pitching staff has been great, but even that recently has bummed you out a little bit. And that, you know, they've had some timely pitching mistakes. And you can't fault the pitching at all. And that's my thing. You can't rely on your pitching staff to be dominant like this, game in and game out with zero run support.
I have not been watching them. I've been following, but not watching.
Yeah.
And is it true that... is there some criticism of Scott Service's handling of the bullpen as well?
Well, that's been there for years. You know, that's a long-standing Mariner thing. Remember, you know, he went through that thing where he wasn't using his closer at the end. He was using it in high-leverage situations.
Yeah.
There's been – and then how often do you run Munoz out? And, yeah, there's been to be fair, the Service bullpen thing has been – I've heard that for years from Mariner fan, that has been an ongoing sort of situation. But again, the problem is not Scott Service's handling of the bullpen. It has nothing to do with the arm. It all has to do with the fact that they can't score runs. And when you can't score runs,
well,
you don't win games.
He'd been there since 2016.
Yeah, 9 years, and I think he has one playoff appearance.
So maybe maybe some fresh eyes, and some new leadership will light a spark. Maybe not this year, but perhaps next year.
Of all the issues that they had, Scott Service was not the problem. But this happens all the time, is you can't fire an entire team. You're not firing your GM in the middle of the season. And so there has to be a fall guy for it. And 9 years, one playoff appearance, and a regression last year where you didn't make the postseason, and then this year with big expectations. And again, it appears that you're face planning. This shouldn't be a shock to anyone. But Dan Wilson is not going to solve the issues here. It's just not.
So he was their ninth manager since Lou Piniella.
Yeah.
The great Lou Piniella.
Yeah.
How many can you name? And by the way, do you realize that no other Mariner... Well, I guess you probably do because they don't have a history of going to the playoffs. There is no other manager in Mariners history outside of Lou Piniella and Scott Service that went to the playoffs with the Mariners.
He's the only one?
Well, those are the only two.
The only two?
Yes. Starting in 1977.
Well, I'll be damned. That is...
Because, you knew that they had the big playoff drought, and that was from 2001.
Yeah, and that makes sense.
But even before Lou Piniella, they didn't go to the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, that's bad. Well, I mean, are they the only organization now to never have been to a World Series? I think they are. I know not every team has won one, but if I'm not mistaken, I believe that they are the only team to never have gotten there.
That is correct.
Because the Marlins have gotten there, the Rays have gotten there, the Rockies have gotten there.
Yep.
You know, so I think they're it.
So, after Sweet Lou,
set a new record for futility.
After Sweet Lou, do you remember who their manager was?
I don't. I remember some names, but I don't remember the order because you had Wakamatsu.
He was in there, yeah.
You had Wedge. Was it Eric
Wedge? Yeah.
You had Lloyd McClendon, right? Was in there somewhere.
Wouldn't have remembered that, but yes. And by the way, he's the only one who was over 500.
Who else am I missing? Who else was in there? Blip 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 blip. How many am I missing?
Well, that would be how many did you name?
What, I think three or four.
There were nine.
I know.
Scott's one of them.
Yeah, Service. Who am I missing?
You said Wedge, McClendon, Wakamatsu, Service. That's
Service.
Four.
Yep. Who else?
Two big ones. Two key ones.
Two key ones.
The other guys.
Why am I drawing blanks?
Shooting blanks?
I am shooting blanks right now.
Okay, I'll help you out.
Yeah, help me out.
One of them is managing the Padres.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait.
No,
yeah.
The Giants, right?
Where is Bob Melvin?
Bob Melvin's managing the Giants.
Yeah, Bob, I love it. We're like, Bob. What, as someone points out, Don Wakamatsu, primetime legend. You're damn right Don Wakamatsu is a primetime legend.
So it went Lou Piniella, Bob Melvin, Mike Hargrove.
Boy, I forgot about Hargrove.
Yeah. John McLaren.
Nope.
Jim Riggleman.
Oh, I remember Riggleman.
Don Wakamatsu. Darren Brown.
Darren Bolt. Who is Darren Brown?
I think he was interim when Wakamatsu got turfed.
Okay. Boy, then, let's play the fun game of who the hell remembers that.
Eric Wedge.
Yeah, remember
Lloyd
Wedge.
McClendon, Scott Servais. Those are the nine. And two Mariners managers have taken them to the playoffs. Lou Piniella.
I think.
And Scott Servais.
If I remember correctly, I think it was Eric Wedge. Years and years ago, my brother and his friend, who were like diehard Mariner fans, they went up to a Mariners game and they were doing like they used to do like a Key Bank trivia question and then like the Key Bank vault. And if you got the trivia question right, you got a big key, you put it in there and you open up the vault. There's fabulous prizes inside, right? That was like their big deal. And you get tickets to a future game or autograph memorabilia or whatever. And so I don't remember if it was which one was answering the question, but they were like there together. And they answered the question right. They put the big key in, they turned it, and they opened up the vault, and it was a jersey. And they were like, oh, cool, autographed jersey. And I do believe it was an Eric Wedge.
What?
Autographed jersey.
He at least played, though. Did he play? He played for the...
I don't know. He didn't play
for the Mariners.
I have no idea, but
I think he played for the old Indians.
If you want to talk about, like, how pissed off you could be, you go to a Major League Baseball game, you answer the question, they open up the vault, you're all excited, what are you going to get? You see a jersey, and it's not Ichiro, you know, it's not any of the big-time players. It's Eric Wedge?
Eric Wedge played for the Red Sox, the Rockies, and the Red Sox again. Only a four-year career.
Oh.
Dude, I would be livid.
Why did I think he played for the Indians?
I don't know.
He managed the Indians.
Oh, that's
2003, 2009.
All right. Well, rest in peace, Scott Servais.
Yes, and now let the era of Dan Wilson. The era has become.
Yeah,
welcome
you think
Dan
he
Wilson.
Is he going to be like? Is he going to be the man? Like,
well, I mean, if they pull this out of their arse and they end up making the postseason, I'm assuming they're keeping him. But again, I ask the question. What exactly is Dan Wilson going to say on a day-to-day basis to get anyone on this team to hit above 230? I mean, their best player, and I kid you not, their best player is hitting 212.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's not even close.
That's right. Good times.
The rest of them, I mean, my goodness. What is there? For a while there, their DH, before the trade deadline, their DH was hitting like 190-something. Let's see what old Mitch Garver. Yeah, by the way, you want to take a guess of what Mitch Garver's hitting?
Just guess. Yes, I want to. Me.
Please, yes.
Me.
Guess. Mitch Garver.
He is hitting 179.
Nice try. Want to guess again?
Yes.
Yeah.
He is hitting 163.
Nice. 165.
Wow.
165.
What a great signing, though.
Jeez Louise. Hey. We thought we had
That's
done
worse than Joey Gallo.
We thought we had done enough in the offseason, just so you know.
My God.
To win 54%. And by the way, DePoto, 54%. I believe you're right at 50. I think they're 500 right now, are they not?
Jerry.
Well, they couldn't keep Servais because his career winning percentage was just not at 54% enough. It was 51.4.
No. Yeah, they are officially 64-64, so 54% is right out. Although, to be fair to DePoto, if they had won 54%, they'd be tied because the Houston Astros, 54 exactly win percentage, which is kind of eerie.
Do you think Joey Gallo would win the team batting title for the Mariners?
What is Julio hitting like 260? I think he might be number one.
Yeah, Gallo's not getting that.
Yeah, I don't think Gallo's getting 260. That's fine.
That's a good point. So the answer is
the
no.
The answer is no.
Yeah, I forgot. Yeah, Julio's actually...
Hitting. Yeah,
he's actually got a normal batting average.
A normal batting average, yes. Yeah, Julio, I think was the most that would qualify, and he's hitting 260.
To the NFL, next on The Fan. All right, we're back here at 10 Barrel Brewing, talking sports with you today.
Mm.
Yesterday was all club, and we're kind of pissed off about this whole sports thing now.
Nah, I've gotten over it. I was a little butthurt at the beginning, but
we're spoiled.
Now I'm ready to go. Hot Don Wakamatsu talk has inspired me.
Yeah, Jahan Dotson is the next name we have to discuss.
Yeah,
traded today in the division.
We had a nice trade, and then someone got paid.
Wait, who got paid? Oh, the corner?
Yeah, for Atlanta, yeah. AJ Terrell.
So Jahan Dotson was dealt from the Commies to the Eagles. Very rare to get a divisional trade like that.
Yeah.
But he was the 16th overall pick in 2022. He's a pretty good little receiver.
He's a really good receiver. Last year he had a solid year. I mean, right around 50 catches and a couple touchdowns. I mean, he'll be the third guy there in Philadelphia.
But he'll probably catch a lot of balls because the first two guys are studs.
Well, look, I mean, you can make a strong case right now that the best receiving core in the NFL right now is in Philadelphia. I mean, they have two legit number ones in, and by the way, the Niners, if they end up with Ayuk, strong case there. I mean, but A.J. Brown is a number one. Devontae Smith is a number one. And Dotson's a solid number two. But in Philly, he gets to be a number three. So, you know, I think if you're a Philadelphia fan, I mean, this is another one of those where it just feels like, you know, top to bottom, Philly's roster is just good and has been good for a long time. It's just, can they get out of their own way and the coaching staff not wreck it? But this is a nice move. And then when you look in from a Washington perspective, this just means that some of the young receivers that they have, they're just coming along. Because they got three draft picks out of this. So this was just simply a case where I'm sure when you see some of the young guys coming up in the depth and you feel good about it, guys become expendable. And, you know, receivers are one of those things that I think some teams are going to covet and others believe that you can just find in the draft because, to be honest with you, you can find him in the draft every single year.
So the Commanders sent Dotson and a fifth to Philly. In exchange, they get a third and two sevens in next year's draft.
Yeah.
Dotson's only 24.
Yeah.
And then you were mentioning that it's Luke McCaffrey time.
Yeah,
in Washington now.
Apparently they're pretty high on him, and
they signed Martavius Bryant too. Yep. I wonder if he's actually looking good.
It's possible.
He hasn't played in like 6 years.
Nah, and then they were talking in Washington. They just said it wasn't a fit. And again, you can take that for what it's worth. I don't know. You know, fit, was there a matter of work ethic? Did he not get along? Wasn't happy with his role? I mean, who knows? So when you just hear that it wasn't a fit, obviously something was going on because it wasn't a production thing. The guy's produced in the 2 years. He's been good. And by the way, he's done it there without a quarterback. And, you know, and so if you're Washington, you know, might be subtraction or addition by subtraction. Get a guy out that maybe isn't happy there and maybe rubs some people the wrong way. You like some of the young guys. You have a number one in McLaurin there who's very good. And, look, let's be honest. You're probably not expecting to win, like, right away. I know some people think that they can be a surprise team, but they're certainly not a win-now mode. I mean, you got probably 6 or 7 years before Daniels really becomes cost prohibitive. You got 5 years on the cheap, and then usually with those extensions, those first year or two of those, it's not a killer because you can spread it out. So, I mean, Washington's got some wiggle room here. So this just, you know, you add some draft capital and you know, you like your young receivers. You move on from a guy that, quote, wasn't a great fit. And if you're Philly, your offense, which already was scary good, just got that much better.
All right, coming up next, we party Kirk Cousins style. We're at 10 Barrel Brewing today. It's Isaac and Suk on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.